Hey guys, welcome to Crime, the rest is history. This is your host, Lavanya Zeus. Before moving on to today's episode, I suggest you all to listen to the disclaimer. So guys, today's episode is about the Australian Kidnapping Series 1, Natasha Crumproach and Elizabeth Frittles. So some people can only find self-validation through the utter domination of others. At school, we call them bullies. And in the history books, they are the most visible as warlords and slave drivers. But where extreme cases of this syndrome were once lauded as great leaders like Bismarck, Napoleon, and Genghis Khan. Later examples like Stalin, Hitler, and the revelant Jim Jones have made such people much less acceptable in the modern society. That doesn't mean that the alter modern society accepts the dominating personality that type has vanished. However, and the two cases from both Austria have recently shown that some of them may have just literally been forced underground. On 2nd March 1998, 10-year-old Natasha Crumproach was making her way to the school from her home in the Dontruth section of Vienna when she was kidnapped. A nearby 12-year-old raised the alarm when she saw her being dragged into a white minivan. A massive police hunt followed, including the interviewing of over 700 owners of registered white minivans in and around Vienna. This dragnet approach later proved to have been partly successful in as much as the police interrogated the actual kidnapper, but it failed when investigators didn't follow up on the inconsistent alibi he gave them. The result of this police blunder was that Natasha spent 8 years imprisoned by the Wolfgang Picolpil, an Australian communications engineer in his late 30s who wanted a sex slave to totally dominate. Picolpil locked her in a secret dungeon hidden beneath a cupboard in his garage. In fact, this cell was a bomb shelter built by Picolpil's grandfather during the height of the Cold War. It was relatively comfortable as dungeons go, but it was, of course, cramped, windowless, and terrifying for a small girl that he has been locked into its confines. Natasha was forced to stay in the bomb shelter for 6 months. After that, Picolpil felt confident enough to let her out for her periods during the day, but locked her up again at night. And when he went out to work, eventually, he seems to have allowed her a small degree of freedom, once even taking her for a couple of hours of skiing at a nearby resort. But he believed that she was, by this time, totally under his control. Criminal psychologists call this utter surrender of a kidnapped victim Stockholm Syndrome, so called after the drawn-out terrorist stage in that city, in which the hostages eventually started showing loyalty and even affection for their threatening abductors. This illogical but uncontrollable emotional reaction is common enough to be exploited by brainwashers like the terrorist who reprogrammed Patty Harris, and by abusive husbands everywhere. But Natasha wasn't totally cowed. She used the inordinate time she was locked in a cell to read as many books as she could, and thus became more knowledgeable and self-possessed. On 23rd August 2006, Picolpil ordered her to clean his BMW while he stood guard. When his mobile phone rang, he moved a few steps away to escape the sound of the vacuum cleaner. When his back was turned, then the 18-year-old Natasha suddenly found the strength to run for her life. Picopil doubtless haunted her for her. But she begged someone for help and was soon under police protection. Realizing it was enough, he was by being haunted and hunted in a danger of forced imprisonment, Picopil went to the Vineyard station and threw himself under a computer train. He died mercilessly but instantly. Natasha attended his funeral. The case shook the world and terrorized all of Austria. How could such a monstrous thing go on unknown to the neighbors in a quiet upper middle class section of Vienna? But worse was to come. Joseph Fridels, born in Australian town of Amiston in 1935, felt that he had every right to dominate his daughter, Elizabeth, as if he owned her. In 1977, when she was 11 years old, it was suspected that Frizzle was sexually abusing her. But no police action was taken. 4 years later, Elizabeth tried to run away from home, but the police caught her and took her back to her father. But in 1984, when she again tried to leave home, she was 18 and could not be treated as a runaway. However, Joseph Fritzl had prepared for this inevitably flouting of his parental authority. He had extended his cellar with a small complex of rooms. This he called himself as an electrician, wired and consulted after the builder had been paid off. Then, on 24th August 1984, he drugged his daughter, chained her, and after raping her, he left her in a newly built prison. It was the last time Elizabeth Fridell was to see daylight for 24 years. During that time, Fritzl would visit the secret sub-cellar or the prison on an average of once every 3 days, bringing food and other basic necessities. He also repeatedly raped his daughter, and she, as a result, gave birth to 7 children. One child died shortly after being born. Whether or not he was murdered by his father or grandfather is not yet known. On the remaining 6, 3 were secretly deposited on the doorstep of Fritzl's house with the false letters attached to them claiming that Elizabeth was now a member of a religious cult and couldn't be bothered to raise her own babies. Rosemary Fritzl, the grandmother of the foundlings, dutifully if gullibly, raised these children for her absent daughter, naming them Lisa, Monica and Alexander. The other 3 children, Kirsten, Stephen and Felix, were left with their grandmother or mother or sister, never seeing the outside world except through the television that their father, grandfather, jailer provided for them. It was only when the eldest of these, 19-year-old Kirsten, fell seriously ill that the whole hideous lineage was revealed. Joseph eventually took Kirsten to the local hospital, telling more lies and presenting yet another fake letter from his cultist daughter. Medical staff were suspicious and alerted the police. Fritzl then allowed Elizabeth and his 2 remaining children out of their cellar on the promise that they would be back his fake story. However, while visiting Kristen in the hospital, Elizabeth confessed her true ordeal to officials and Joseph Fritzl was arrested. The case is ongoing at the time of writing. but Fritzl has confessed so. At 73, he is unlikely to outlive whatever sentence he is eventually given. Whether his wife Rosemary actually knew what was going on under her feet is yet uncertain. Kristen recovered from her serious illness, and she and the rest of Joseph Fritzl's children are said to be doing as well as can be expected under the circumstances. It is to be hoped that they eventually do as well as Natasha Krumprich. The selling of the worldwide rights to her first television interview made her a millionaire. She is now considering a career as a chat show host. Asked about both her case and that of Fritzl's children, she has said that she believes that Austria will never fully be denazified after World War II as Germany did. The old National Socialist ideals of absolute authorization or authoritarianism and the suppression of female rights, she believes, are still deeply rooted in her nations. The above are the wordings from the Encyclopedia of Crime by Oliver Sirix. In the Fritzl's case, on March 19, 2009, Fritzl was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole for 15 years. He also stated that he accepted the sentence and would not appeal. Fritzl is now currently serving his sentence in Gresten Abbey, a former monastery in Upper Austria that has been converted into a prison. So guys, on a personal note, sometimes we don't know what we may experience or what we may face at that moment. So guys, at this fifth generation or the 5G generation, we need to keep our eyes and ears awake. Because when we only concentrate on the social media or on our phones, we forget or we tend to lose who is following us or whether the stranger is a helper or a kidnapper. So be very careful, as the world is not yet a better place. This is your host, Lavanya Zeus. Until then, adios!